cliffcentral.com.
Alrighty, yes. 5 minutes after six. Wednesday morning. 5 days left of October, and before you know it, it's going to be the second last month of the year. I bumped into a dude yesterday. Said to me, "You know what happens in November, right?" I said, "No." He said, "Nothing. Forget about it. Nobody does any work." And he's right. November's pretty much a write-off. So, if you've got important stuff you want to get done, you better do it in these next 5 days. You got, and by the way, two of them are going to be weekends, so you got 3 days. That's it. I hate to put the pressure on, but that's what's going to happen. All right, so here's the status quo this morning, just so you're on the inside. Lucas is in. He is ably standing by as our swing producer this morning with Michael Flax. Why Flax is off today. Hey, Lucas, how are you?
Hi, Gareth. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, man. All right, cool. So Lucas will be taking your calls. 0861-555-189. Otherwise, I'm sitting in the studio on my own. Ben is not in today. He's still got the coughs. No Flax, no Ben. And Mubs, is she late? What's the story? You can't get hold of her?
We're still trying to get hold of
Mubs. Oh, my God. I might have to do the whole show on my own. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. What a lot of fun, this radio thing, huh? Isn't it great? So today, among other things, we got Proverb popping in. He'll be here about 8 o'clock this morning. Proverb, of course, the host and our executive producer on Idols. That's what you probably best know him for, although he's even more well-known as a rapper. And one of the nicest people in the entertainment business. I don't think there is anyone who's ever said to me, "Oh, you know that Proverb, not such a cool guy," ever. And people in this business can't wait to say horrible things about each other. So that tells you something. He started his rapping career back in 1999. And he doesn't use any bad language in his songs, which is also amazing because, you know, rap is kind of about that. So he'll be in a bit later. We've also got some news. We'll have check in on some of the sports action too, and we'll take your calls and messages. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. Tell us what you're up to this morning and let us know what your story is. You know, you might be planning things with only a couple of days left of October and only a little bit left of the productive year. This might be a time for you to think about what you're doing for the holidays and also kind of what your plans are. You know, people like to think big in terms of what's going on. So we're struggling to locate Mabale, which is kind of scary. Lucas will let us know what happens over there. So no Ben, no Mubs, no Flax, just Lucas and I look after you this morning. And you can call us, please, God, you got to call us, because otherwise I'm going to have talking to myself the whole goddamn morning. That's going to be awful. And then later on today, I've got a pre-record with Helen Ziller, which will play out for you later. But this is interesting. She's written a book called Not Without a Fight. It's a fairly thick book. It's quite a severe book in terms of, you have to decide to start reading it. But let me tell you something. Once you start with this book, you're not going to want to put it down. It's a blow-by-blow account of her rise to the position of leader of the opposition. I mean, it's more than that. There's a family history in there. There's a whole lot of interesting info to how she became mayor of Cape Town, to how she became premier of the Western Cape, to eventually leaving the role of leader and clearing the way for Musi Maimane, the intrigue, the people she's fought with along the way that she had to stand up to the ANC, the way that she had to stand up to people in her own party. You know, a lot of people think that it was an easy ride for her because in opposition politics, you know, how hard could it be? People band together because there's so few of them. Well, not so. She had to fight people in the DA, and before that, in the DP, even harder. Tony Leon didn't want her to take over as leader after he left. He felt like she'd ousted him, and there's quite a lot of real intrigue in this story. So if you don't read anything else this year, I would say that this is probably the most interesting book to read. And there's plenty of other good stuff being published at this time of year. You know, we've spoken to some really fascinating analysts and and writers and politicians and all the rest of it. But this is truly, and from the point of view of being a woman and managing to maintain a healthy, happy family, being able to maintain an opposition party, which was like a bag of cats that were fighting with each other the whole time, to fighting the government party, the ANC, who at every turn would do whatever it took to destabilize her and her governments, whether it was a small coalition government that she'd established as mayor of Cape Town, to the small coalition government they initially started up with the ID, the Independent Democrats, to that whole thing with Mampela Rampele, which is fascinating to read from Helen's point of view. And then ultimately to, you know, fights with Lindiwe Mazibuko and all the rest of it towards the end of her career in the DA's leadership position. But there she is. She's still the Premier of the Western Cape. And it seems that she will, by whatever means necessary, make every accommodation she can to deliver for people in that province. And she feels like, you know what? You could judge her by her numbers. You could judge her by her success in government, both as mayor of Cape Town and later on as premier of the Western Cape. So a really interesting interview. I'm very, very excited to talk to her. I've actually never had a proper one-on-one interview with Helen Ziller. So she'll be in later this morning. We'll talk to her and we'll play that out very, very soon on the show. Plenty of good stuff still to come on touchcentral.fm, cliffcentral.com. It's 11 after 6. With all those is in there, it could be a Queen of Vagina. I am Queen of Vagina. Well, Mabali Moloi is here, which deserves a round of applause from everybody in the room. Ladies and gentlemen, there she is.
Yes. Apologies for being late.
That is absolutely fine. Mabali says she's having endless trouble with her phone. Like, she only gets messages 48 hours later and that kind of thing, which is very annoying.
It gets worse and worse and worse. When I'm at home, I can't receive phone calls because the network won't allow for the connection to happen.
That's insane.
I get here this morning. Yeah. When I woke up this morning, there were no notifications on my phone. When I got out of the car here, arriving at the studio, I've got 57 notifications in my WhatsApp.
Jesus. So like, there's no way to communicate, because Lucas was trying to call you.
My phone didn't ring. So yeah, it's just frustrating.
Hey, Grayson, what's up, dude?
Hi, it's fine. And for yourself? You sound really lonely.
I sound lonely? No, Mubs is here now. I'm much happier, thank God.
Your whole team abandoned you.
No, you know what? I'm used to, I like being on my own, frankly, but it feels kind of weird being here doing the show. And Lucas was here from the beginning, thank goodness. So, you know, between us and with Mubs here now, we're gonna have an awesome morning. What are you up to?
I'm on my way to work.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm driving. A call center agent.
Uh-huh.
The other day when you talked about our profession, I felt really bad.
Why?
Because you and Ben said there's no way up from there. But it's only what you make of the position.
But you know what I meant is that people are so rude to you guys. Like, you're there to do a job. And we both felt, I remember this discussion, we both felt like it's just such a thankless job because you get home at the end of the day and you've had people kind of abuse you all day. And all you're trying to do is your job.
At first, it was hard for me when people were bitching in my ears, but now I'm just like, fuck off, I don't give a fuck. They're not complaining to me, they're complaining about the company, right. So I don't really give a fuck.
So you don't take it on board?
No. So if they complain, they can complain, and if I can sort it out, I will sort it out. If not, I'll just move on to the next one. I'm there just for paycheck, and also I'm there to make something of my life. So, I don't give a crap.
Good for you.
What's the rudest that people have been to you? I mean, do people cut the call while you're talking to them, or do they swear at you?
They do. but luckily, I'm not selling. I'm just asking Why? I'm calling existing customers, so I'm not there.
Oh, okay.
Calling like out of the blue and asking, do you want insurance?
Right.
So it's easier calling existing customers just to listen and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's really cool.
I think it must be much harder to do the cold calling, right?
Yeah, it is.
So here's your theme song. When the next time someone calls or you call somebody and they're horrible to you, just play this for them, all right? You ready?
Okay.
I don't fuck with you. You little stupid ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you.
All right. There we go. That's all you need to do.
But Gareth, all the calls are recorded, so I'm going to get fired. Are you going to give me a job, though?
Well, I mean, we always need someone to answer the phones here. Do you mind doing the same job here?
Yeah, sure.
All right, bro.
It can't be too hard.
No, you'd be surprised. All right. Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks so much.
Okay, brother.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Bye. Yo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's it then. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Oh, we're packing it up. All right. Hey, look, that's your Wednesday edition of the Gareth Cliff Show. We'll see you tomorrow.
No, I was just thinking about... there's so much to do still. I was saying at the beginning of the show, we had like 5 days left of this month. Two of them are weekend, which leaves us with three productive days in October. And you know that... Like November, it always seems as full of office parties and events and stuff because people want to squeeze all of those things into November. They know December's a total write-off. So November's like a go slow. Let's not kid around. Very little actual work goes down in November. So you're really dealing with three hard-working days of 2016 left. And before you know it, it's Christmas and New Year and all of that stuff. And I think a lot of people are already tuning into their holiday mentally, you know, trying to get on with kind of planning that. But there's still plenty to do. And we've got, actually, Pravin is giving his medium-term budget, isn't he?
Yes, he is today. It's happening at 2 o'clock. He's expected to start delivering that speech.
And then he'll go off to jail just after that, right?
Oh, no, that is only on the 2nd of November that he goes to jail.
Oh, okay.
So next week.
Well, listen, do you want to go on Julius's march on the 2nd? I'm really feeling like we should.
Yeah?
Like this is the one march I feel is important.
Do you have marching credentials?
I don't. I have no I've never joined a march. I've never joined a protest. I've never been a part of any of that.
I also don't have marching credentials.
But maybe we should jump in. I mean, you know, if well, like what else do you have to do next Wednesday or the Wednesday after that, whenever it is? The 2nd.
The 2nd.
Wednesday. Yeah, it's next Wednesday. What else do you have to do? Let's do it. What the hell, man? We could get some marching credentials. And if we're going to do anything, may as well be this one, right? Against state capture. Like if there's ever a reason for people to get off their feet and stand up for their country, maybe it's this one. You don't have to be an EFF member to march, right?
Absolutely not. And I don't think the EFF are the only entity organizing a march. I think there's going to be more than one march on that day. And then they'll probably kind of just... you know, blend into one big movement.
Yeah, I think we should do it. I really do. I'm feeling like it's one of those things that's absolutely just, it's got to happen. It's necessary. Who's this, David?
How's it? How are you?
Hey, David. What's up, brother?
I had similar issues with my phone as Mabali's having. Mabali, are you with MTN?
No, I'm with Cell C.
Okay. I had exactly the same issue. I'd get to work and I wouldn't be able to make or take calls, but I'd drive... like literally out the gate and my phone would work again.
Yeah.
I phoned MTN. They've got a section that deals with all that type of shit. Gave them the number, told them where, and I promise you within about 2 hours my phone was working perfectly again. So maybe give it a shot. Nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Well, look,
true.
I mean, none of us have a huge amount of love for these networks, but, you know, they want you to use your phone. So if it's not working properly, that doesn't benefit them in any way.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah, but they want it. What I'm saying is that if they found out that you have a problem, they'll try to fix it so that you can use your phone. That's to their benefit, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, there we go. So she's got to get hold of them and tell them the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Nothing to lose.
As I say, that's only going to work for me.
All right. Well, you know what, Mubs? If you have any trouble, I'll see if we can throw it into Data Must Fall.
Hey,
all right,
look.
Cheers, guys.
Everyone has complained about their network at some stage, right? Or every single network, somebody like...
You know, even if they gave us free data, we'd still complain.
Yes, we would.
I found out the other day, like that, there are a lot of things that they do. Like, for example, if you need study materials, apparently there are a bunch of study material depositories and resources online that you can get for zero. It doesn't cost you to use those. The data does not cost on those products.
Oh.
So they are, they're trying to do things. I don't know if it's just one network that does that or, but as part of kind of figuring out our way through this complicated Dotemist fall environment, we're discovering a lot of stuff about how it all works. And it is pretty fascinating. You think about it, every single tower that they've got up has to have a generator.
Mm-hmm.
So that it doesn't fail if the electricity goes out. And some of these are in such outlying areas that it takes a while to get them repaired if something goes wrong. But they also have major electricity consumption. You imagine how much electricity you use to generate those signals, right?
A lot.
So it's not easy to run these things. Like, we just look at the profit and the huge kind of turnover of these networks, and we think, oh, well, you know, this is an easy business. This is a piece of cake. It's like anything in life, it's always a little more complicated when you scratch under the surface.
And like most things in life, as soon as something starts affecting you directly, that is when we start bitching and moaning.
Correct. Yeah, well, obviously. Like humans. The minute it affects your bottom line, your pocket, your health, your relationships, your work environment.
The minute it inconveniences you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Grounds for complaints.
All right. So, Mubs, go ahead. List your top three problems in life right now. Come on. I dare you.
Oh, like, okay.
If you could solve three big problems in your own life right now. And everybody do this exercise. Let's try and figure it out. Whether we've all got something in common or not.
Sure. Do you want to give me a minute to think about my three biggest problems?
Obviously, number one is your cell phone. Because if you don't have that working, you're disconnected from the world, right?
Right. So I would like to fix that issue.
Okay.
Working on the weight loss issue, but that's all on me. Like, I can't blame that on anybody else. That must be blamed squarely on me.
All right. But aren't you doing these kettlebells and things already?
I'm doing everything. No. It's just coming off very, very slowly, which is annoying.
Sure, but you've got an eating plan in place and all
I've
that
got
stuff.
Got an eating plan in place. Sweating every day, so that's good.
Okay.
Hey, man, more money. I mean, more money would fix all my problems, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. All right. I'll say more money.
Yes.
I'll say, what are my biggest problems right now? Because I'm mostly a happy guy. I mean, I don't let a lot of things get me down. I wouldn't mind having that ripped body either, to be perfectly frank. So we've got those two in common.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a cell phone problem, so I've got to find a third reason. Yeah. Lucas, how about you? Three biggest problems. Go for it.
I think one, it's like losing this Bailey. It feels like it's an informal settlement because it doesn't want to go away. You know, I feel like I need to work very hard to lose this Bailey or send the red ends.
Are you feel fat?
Yes, I do.
All right.
So that's one, losing the Bailey.
All right.
And maybe if I can get an electric car, the pain of having to fill petrol, it's unbearable.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Good point. All right. So you got two there. You got a third one. Your genie's still waiting for your third command. Go on.
Okay. Let's see. The third one will be learning Japanese.
Wow.
Oh.
Huh. Yep. You want to learn Japanese? Yeah, that we could do.
Yeah. I've got Japanese friends, but they can't teach me. I don't know why. So I'm been trying to teach myself. It's hectic.
You know, you can download like audiobooks and things these days that'll do all the work for you. You just have to listen to them.
Yeah, maybe I should try that.
I'll help you find them.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's like a free course. You can get it. There's so much free stuff online these days. You can find this. So the last one we can solve.
Okay, cool.
It's like Mubs' cell phone problem we can solve.
Thank you.
All right, very good. So there we go. We're all on at least two of them. We're on the same kind of drive here.
Mm.
More money. In other words, in Lucas's case, he doesn't like spending on petrol. You can blame him for that. And we want to look better. We want to feel healthier.
Mm.
And those are achievable. I would really like to... There are a few things that I'd just like to not have to be concerned with. Like, I would really love to, at the end of every month, not worry about having to pay everybody. You know, like, there must be so much money in the bank that I don't have to think about that. That would be nice.
Yeah, that could cause sleepless nights.
Last night I was online at like 10 o'clock making sure that everybody got paid because our accountant is overseas. And I went on, as I usually do at the end of the month, to make sure that all the payments are authorized, right?
Mm.
And then they wouldn't pay. Whoa. And I panicked. I haven't panicked like that for a long time because I thought, people have got bills to pay.
Yes.
If you don't pay them, they can't pay those bills. Then they end up in trouble. It's a whole thing that starts happening.
It's a domino effect.
So I had to teach myself in the space of 15 minutes, and I've never done the payments from the get-go, like totally from the start myself, because this accountant usually does them. Then I just authorize them. I had to go in, I had to enter the amounts, and I was so careful. I checked everything like 3 times. I had pieces of paper everywhere. I'd written stuff down. I was printing stuff to prove I'd paid. And because now, you know, you can't just pay out of the account, and then what if you pay the wrong amount, or you pay into the wrong account, or...
Yeah, and
you know?
And we know how your maths is, so you really had to be extra careful with the right amounts.
Well, what if I put an extra zero in there or something?
I know!
I mean, imagine. No one's going to own up and go, yeah, you paid me too much. Oh, it was scary. So I ended up doing that last night until just before I got to bed. And then I started reading Helen Ziller's book, and I couldn't put that down. So eventually, I think my head hit the pillow at like 1:30, 2 a.m.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'm a little frazzled today, but it'll be all right. Okay, let's get into the news. Enough about us. You tell us about you. And at the same time, we can fill you in on all the things you need to know this morning. So here she is, Mabale Moloi at 6:30 with the headlines. Very good.
Okay, so the city of Cape Town has approved 4 marches and pickets to Parliament today. This is for when the finance minister presents his mini budget speech. And everything has been scheduled according to plan. It's very organized. At 7 a.m., 15 people with the South African Faith Commission Environmental Institute.
Yeah.
You know, every day I discover that a new, like an organization exists that I knew nothing about. The South African Faith Commission Environmental Institute. They are going to be protesting against the supposed nuclear deal that South Africa signed with Russia.
Oh, yeah?
So they kick things off at 7 o'clock this morning. And this is all in Cape Town, by the way. Mm-hmm. Then at 9 a.m., about 1,000 people who call themselves the UCT Collective Unions are going to picket.
Yeah.
Then at 10 a.m., the DA...
Which picket?
At 10 a.m., the DA are going to take to the streets. And mm-hmm. the reasons for their protest is they're raising their voices for stability and sustainability in the higher education sector. And then at 1 o'clock this afternoon, the Cape Peninsula University of Technology's central student representatives, they've been given the go-ahead to raise their grievances. Now, the finance minister is going to be speaking at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and all of these marches are meant to take place at Parliament, where the speech will be happening.
Wow.
Last year, Nhlanhla Nene, when he was still finance minister, he was caught off guard by a student protest during his speech in Parliament.
Yep.
So I guess Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan should be prepared for any eventuality today, because you never know how quickly out of control these things become.
Or Burning and Tlameza could walk in and like put cuffs on him. You never know.
You never know. So Pravin
Sean
Gordhan...
Bushy Eyebrows Abrahams.
Okay.
Break in there. This guy... there's so much talk about this Sean Abrams at the moment. It just seems that nobody has faith in him. I read such an interesting article yesterday about how... oh, by the way, my ID card process was such a pleasure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, I was standing in the queue at the ID card place. And I read about this, you know, all of Zuma's henchmen and basically what kind of a future they face once he's out. And it's not good for any of them. Because none of these people would be able to take up jobs anywhere. No one's going to touch them once he's out. And you saw this with a lot of Thabo Mbeki's people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Issop Pahad, I think, is still looking for a job. I think he's been out there searching for a job since 2008? When was Thabo ousted? He can't find any meaningful, useful occupation. People like Sean Abrams, if they get struck from the role, which could happen because he had that meeting at Lutuli House with, who did he meet? The president, I think. And Michael Masuta.
The Minister of...
Of Justice.
Yes.
They met, and apparently you can't do that if you're the National Director of Public Prosecutions. You can't meet at the party headquarters for your instructions from the Justice Minister. Apparently there are ways to do these things. And
protocol.
The day before, yeah, and the day before you have the charges laid against the finance minister, it's all, they're just doing what they want. And apparently you can't do that. Like, it's unethical behavior.
But I mean, if you've been given the okay from number one, who cares about unethical behavior?
That's fine, but what if number one isn't there to protect you anymore, and then you also get struck from the role, and what kind of a law firm is going to hire you after that? You're not going to get work in the private sector or public sector. So you're screwed. It's short-term gains and long-term unemployment.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but historically speaking, people who are affiliated with or are allegedly affiliated with corrupt individuals in government, very rarely do these people face prosecution at a later stage, right? They all manage to get away with it.
Yeah, but most often you never hear from them again because they end up really, really poor.
But how do you end up poor when you've been...
Well, a lot of times they go after their money. They
when
don't
you've been
necessarily...
lining your pockets for so long, surely
because
you must have some kind of plan in set.
These are not productive people. They don't know what to do with money. So even if you give them $800 million, it doesn't last. They don't know what to do with it. So they spend it all, or they put it into bad investments, or they manage it badly or whatever. And then, you know, they also have to pay off a bunch of people so that they themselves stay out of trouble. So it's sort of a trickle-down stupidity more than a trickle-down of cash. And ultimately what you end up have happening is that once the principal's gone, the person who's dispensing the cash, or once that person runs out of cash, the whole thing crumbles. Because you don't have productive people, you have yes people. You don't have people who are clever enough to fend for themselves. You just have people who do what they're told. And those are not the kind of people who can hold on to money. They invariably, it falls in on itself. It's a disaster.
Yeah. But I suppose these people are always going to exist because, you know, at the end of the day, everybody has a price. Everyone's morals can be bought for some figure. We all have a price.
I don't know.
We all have that price that we would, you know,
look, if
second guess or think, oh, maybe I should consider this one.
What's worth going to jail for?
No, I mean, you don't want to go to jail.
Right. So there's the balance. So if I say to you, you can have however much money you want, but here's the possibility. There's a 60, 80, 90% chance you could go to jail. Would you still do it?
Okay, well, if it's 90%, then
jail's
no.
Pretty shitty, let me tell you. In this country, you're not messing around in jail.
Yeah, look, if it's 90%, then the odds are clearly against me, in which case it would be wise not to. But, you know, some people still think that they can get away with things.
And let's also remember, there are some good people. Like, they're few and far between, but there are. I mean, we all know someone who just wouldn't bend their principles, even for a couple of million rand. Like, to them, it's more important not to be wrong, not to be bad. There are people like that. Not everyone is evil. Most of us can be bought, you're right. There's a price for everybody. But I don't know that everybody would be... You know, we give politicians a hard time. But even reading this Helen Ziller book, there were people that she dealt with who were just really principled. And you couldn't get them to move from their principles for any amount of money, any amount of coercion. I like that. I think that's good. That shows that some people really, it's not about material gain for them. They just are more interested in building a legacy or in protecting something or in doing the right thing. I mean, there are people who've gone. There are great leaders in our history in this country who've gone to jail for their principles. They could have been bought off at some time. They've done the right thing. So I don't think it's true for every single one of us. Certainly, most of us could be bought. I don't know what my price is.
I know there's a price.
Yeah, sure. For a little material comfort. But I mean, would you kill someone?
Oh, no.
See?
No.
So we don't have a line.
I don't think I'd actually have the balls to kill someone unless it was either me or them dying.
Yeah. No, that's different. Yeah. That's survival. You can't predict what you'd do there. All right. We'll get to some more news in a moment or two. We don't have sport because there's no Ben today.
Still sick, huh?
Yeah. Well, do you want to hear what he's sounding like this morning?
Yeah.
He sent me this clip. This is Ben this morning. Here it is. Pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it's all right. Gross.
So we'll take your calls, 0861-555-189, and we'll come back in a moment or two. Also check in on the money with Anthea this morning. Skylar Grey, and come up for air. Ashley wants to know if I have a crush on Skylar Grey because I play the song a lot. No, I haven't even thought about it until now. But now that you mention it, that's kind of embarrassing. Joan Doe says, dude, Julius's March posters say submit or fight. Out of interest's sake, what would you do if the march turned violent?
Well, you find cover as quickly as you can.
Run.
But I never know, like, let's say you went there with people. You didn't go there by yourself. Do you apply the airplane method of first putting the oxygen mask over your face before tending to your baby next to you? Or do you...
Well, you didn't take a baby to a march. What's wrong with you?
Sorry, a child next to you. All right. So what I'm asking is, do you look out for yourself when things turn violent? Or do you worry about your friends, your brother who came to the march with you?
Run for the hills. Are you kidding?
Every man for himself.
I'm out of there. Oh, I think I want to do this. I'm serious. I think I want to go on this march. I think we should all do it. If it's about state capture, then what bigger reason do you need than keeping your country out of autocracy and in democracy than to get up off your fat backside and actually go and stand in a march? And it's what, in Pretoria? How hard could it be?
To the union buildings, I think.
Right. Lindy says, my biggest problem listening to you and Mubs and your lists is my daughter is in matric and she's starting final exams soon. What will happen next year? Yeah.
Yeah, that, sure.
Jeez. And even varsity students? What do you know? How do you know next year is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen next year?
Well, you don't know. I mean, as far as I can remember, the Faculty of Science at UCT, you know, they announced last week already that they're not going to be writing any exams this year. That will all be dealt with in 2017. And it was for first, second, and third year programs.
Right.
So those first years are still going to be there in 2017, which means there's no room for your child who matriculates this year.
So what are they going to do? Have a forced gap year where the poor parents have to keep paying for them for another year? I mean, maybe go out and work. You know, I read a status update. A friend of mine has just got his degree. He put himself through varsity. He's probably in his late 20s, early 30s. And he couldn't go to university straight after school. He had to work for like 6 or 7 years to save up the money to put himself through varsity. So it's not the end of the world necessarily, but it isn't great if that was your plan. You know, we're thinking about those people. So, yeah, good point, Lindy. I'm sorry. What can I say? I wish I had an answer for you. Let's go to Anthea Gardner and see what's happening in the money, Mubs. And Anthea, I've got a new song for you, and I know you love those.
Oh,
let me get Anthea on right now. Anthea, you there?
I am. Good morning, Gareth.
Hey, morning. Do you want to hear your new song? Someone submitted one. Okay, let me see if I can find this for you. I think you'll quite like these. New Anthea song. Let me see. By the way, I'm sorry I didn't call you back yesterday. I saw I had a missed call from you, Anthea.
No problem. We'll speak later.
Yeah, all right. You've been away. You're in Mozambique, right?
I was. A bit of scuba diving to decompress.
Nice. Very right. Nice, Anthea.
Listen to this quickly and then we can get on with it. Techno version. Like that?
I do.
All right. We've got a couple of submissions from some people on your song. They've been digging around on the internet for us.
I'm so impressed. impressed how much effort people put into this.
I know, because you put effort into telling us what is happening with our money. So go on, tell us.
Okay.
What are we missing?
Yesterday, the overall market was flat, but the Rand continues to trade quite strongly. And this despite a stronger dollar. We've had some good manufacturing data out of the U.S. So, you know, so the dollar will strengthen on the back of that. So the Rand is currently trading 13.77 to the dollar.
That's a good price.
Yeah, not bad at all. Huh. It's 15 flat to the euro.
Right.
And I'm happy to report well below 17 to the pound. 16.76 at the moment.
All right.
And then commodities had a very good day yesterday. The Chinese commodity market is having, I don't know what to call it, a gravity-defying couple of days. Iron ore traded limit up yesterday, which means it traded as high as market rules will allow in one day of trading, which in this case is 6% higher.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of speculation about why the Chinese market is rallying like this, but I don't think there's a definitive answer. I don't think there's... Nobody knows. You know, Chinese just seem to be buying commodities all of a sudden. We know, last week or the week before, we had some good GDP growth number come out of China, 6.7% year on year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that is what will send the commodities on the market up. I mean, also, I know it's Indian wedding season, which runs from October to December, and it's relatively well known that this wedding season has quite a positive effect on the gold price. But that doesn't really explain why iron ore or coal is running so hard. In fact, I think you'd fall out of favor very quickly if you gave iron ore or coal as a wedding gift. And then on top of the commodity prices, some of our local counters, Anglo-American Kumba Iron Ore and Anglo-American Platinum, released some really good production numbers yesterday. So those stocks also had a decent rally. And I think that's going to start an interesting debate, because it's fairly well known that Anglo-American are wanting to sell down some of their assets, and particularly Kumba, which they own over 65% of. But both Anglo and Kumba share prices are up over 200% so far this year.
Wow.
Although I don't have to tell you, this is off a fairly low base, you know. Anglo's trading at about 185 Rand a share now, which is well off its 585 or somewhere around there high in 2008. But I think the sale of kind of Kumba and its assets will really depend on global growth expectations and what we see coming out of China and the US. So maybe it's not a bad idea for Anglo to hang on a bit longer. And then MTN just can't stay out of the news. I mean, they've also had a sudden rally, and this is very weird. The share was up over 5% yesterday. It's now trading at about 115 Rand a share, and this after touching a low of 107 Rand last week.
Hmm.
And so yesterday, the Central Bank of Nigeria said that they were stopping MTN from repatriating the dividends out of Nigeria. So basically, MTN declared a dividend to their shareholders. Not us, unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you want to take that. And now Nigeria are saying, well, they can't take their cash out of Nigeria to pay for these dividends. And so why the share was up 5% yesterday is boggling, quite frankly. It probably will come down today if that is the case, because what means is they'll have to use cash in South Africa to pay the dividend. And then in the US, Wall Street was a bit lower yesterday. They're still in earnings reporting season. Some of the results were a bit disappointing. Whirlpool reported yesterday the share was down 11%, which is the biggest one-day drop the share has had since it listed in the last 44 years. Procter & Gamble reported, Apple and Under Armour, the sports clothing business. So Under Armour was down 13%, but this is now the second quarter it's had an absolutely shocking set of results. Oof. Procter & Gamble, not too bad. The share was up over 3%. And then the one we watch quite carefully, just because it is such a big counter and such a big weight in the index, also very disappointing. The share closed higher on Wall Street yesterday, but in after-hours trading, it fell about 3%. And the issue with Apple is that in the quarter, revenue was down 9% to, I know, this is where where it's worrying, $47 billion they made in revenue for the quarter. And I think the concern there is Greater China, because, you know, it was being touted as the next big growth engine for Apple. And in fact, revenue fell almost 30% in the quarter in China. And this was after dropping 33% the quarter before. I say those numbers, but just to keep it in perspective, quarter on, like, kind of for the year. So the same quarter last year, revenue in China actually doubled. So even though it dropped since last quarter, year on year, it's actually doubled. So kind of, you know, I think...
Are these growth expectations sometimes just a little unreasonable and irrational? Surely, eventually, every market reaches some kind of saturation. You can't keep driving growth up at outrageous astronomical rates. It's just not sustainable.
Absolutely. You're right. It does have to kind of level out at some stage. And if you're seeing doubling of growth kind of quarter on quarter, then you know that's unsustainable. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So Apple sold 45.5 million iPhones in the 3 months to September, which is a bit higher than what the analysts were expecting of 44.8 million. I think people are worried about Apple. There's no doubt about it. You know, it's not a slam dunk the way it used to be a couple of years ago. And I think all this negative company news coming out of the U.S. will impact our market today as well. I see Asia is already trading lower this morning. And then, Gareth, we've got the medium-term budget policy statement today.
Yep.
All eyes on that. I suspect we'll see a bit of fiscal slippage. You can't expect good fiscal or growth when GDP growth has fallen so dramatically in the last 6 months. I mean, this is not the big budget speech where he makes changes to tax and, you know, reallocation of funds and that sort of thing. But I think everyone's expecting him to say something about the three kind of elephants in the room, you know, SAA, the nuclear deal, and tertiary education. But it feels a bit strange, because those are the things that, even though Gordhan gets paid to pay for the nuclear deal, the SAA, the tertiary education, it feels like he hasn't really been part of the negotiations. So kind of, yeah, I think this is quite an important budget speech, not because it's the big one for the year, but just because of what's happening kind of on a geopolitical...
You don't think there's a possibility that, because things are so fraught at the moment between the finance minister and the rest of the administration, that he would use this as a political opportunity?
No, I don't think so. I think Gordhan's very aware that he should leave politics out of this. This is the one that the ratings agencies are watching, because on the, 2nd of December, they'll make a decision about whether or not they'll downgrade us. And the decision will be based purely on what comes out of today's speech.
You don't think that he's maybe also just a little bit distracted with that issue of him being charged with fraud? I can imagine countless conversations.
My buddy, that is the shame of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, I can't see how he can't be distracted. So, yes, but he's good at what he does, you know. So the numbers, he'll get the numbers right. Whether he gets the political rhetoric right is another story.
Here's a question from Matthew. He says, "Hey, Gareth and Anthea, I would like some investment advice. I have 50,000 rand that I need to access for my 2018 PhD. So I have 1 year to store it. That's pretty short term. What is my best bet? Fixed deposit at 7.65%, existing Coronation platforms, or your up-and-coming platform?"
I would say, we do have a stable and conservative investment portfolio that we're going to launch on the 7th of November. So I would say put it into one of those. What you don't want, if you're saving for 1 year, is to put it into the equity market because of the volatility. You know, yeah. Over time, the equity market tends to go higher than money market or stable or conservative portfolios. But chances are that when you need the money, the market could be down. So rather put it in something stable or conservative. One of those two portfolios that we're launching would be the best.
Okay. Well, there we go. There's some straightforward advice for you. And Let me just see if there are any others. There are always questions for you, Anthea. We can get to some of them tomorrow. Anyway, welcome back. We're happy you're back.
Thank you very
much. And thanks for the info. We will chat to you tomorrow.
All right. Have a good day.
Cool. Anthea Gardner-Mubbs with a look at the markets. CliffCentral.com.